Okay, so we're hi Yoni. So we're doing Pachad Yitzchok Maamar Hey. And this is again what a prime example of Rav Huttner's brilliant ways of just reformulating an idea or a concept that with a new twist, which opens up a whole new vista of understanding and appreciation of a certain type of halacha. So this is in Rosh Hashanah. This is Maamar Hei. And he asks the following question. Obviously, we can't read everything inside just because it's the language is beautiful, but also complicated and thick. It just takes too long to read everything inside, which I really I encourage you to read it inside when you get a chance. But we'll pick and choose pieces, and I'll try to summarize and try to express it as best as I can. Certainly doesn't do adequate for Rav Huttner's style and for the depth of his ideas. But let's start. So Rav Huttner points out that of course all tefillah is avodah shelev. All tefillah comes from the depths of the heart, without the kavana, without the feeling, that it's not really tefillah. We're somewhat limited in our abilities to have kavanah, and so therefore the halacha doesn't tell us to keep repeating things over and over again because there's no guarantee we'll do any better the next time around. But in its essence, tefillah is rachmana liba boy. Hashem wants our heart. Hashem wants our kavanah. Hashem wants that depth. And the deeper the kavanah, the deeper the emotions and the connection to Hashem, the better and the more powerful the tefillah. And yet, says Rav Huttner, if you look throughout all of Sefer Tehillim, the only time that David HaMelech uses the word mima'amakim, the fact that we dive into Hashem from the depths, is only within reference to tshuva. It's the famous Kapitel Kof Lamed that we say all the time, She'er Malos mima'amakim k'rasiach Hashem. That Kapitel Tehillim is all referencing teshuva. Talks about slicha and kapara. And why is it that in all Sefer Tehillim, the only time that the idea of depth, emek, mima'amakim, is applied to tefillah is within reference to tshuva? So what is the deep connection between ma'amakim and tshuva, as opposed to tefillah in general, which we say should be related to something that's deep, coming from a deep place with inside of us? So that's the question we want to start with. And he opens up by asking the following question from the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud, where the Gemara says, Rav, I think, turns to Rav Hamnuna was, maybe double-check me, but Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud, I think Rav was talking to Rav Hamnuna. And Rav says, why are you davening so much? Right? How long, says Rav, are you going to be occupied with Chayei Shah and ignoring Chayei Olam? And Rashi explains, what does that mean? That Chayei Shah is a reference to tefillah. And tefillah, Rashi explains, means a person's davening for mizonos, for banim. A person wants a parnasa, he needs food on the table, he wants children, he has needs, physical needs, bodily needs. That's chayisha. As opposed to, said Rava, as opposed to learning Torah, that's chayolam. Torah, metaphysical aspects, that's chayol, right? So Rava said, why are you doing chayisha and not doing chayolam? So says Rav Huttner, two very basic questions. He says, first of all, I don't understand. Torah is holy, right? Because it's ruchnius. But then mitzvahs are all ruchnius. Mitzvahs are also ruchnius. So why is it Torah, according to Rashi? Why is Chayei Olam referring to Torah, Chayei Shah referring to tefillah? Why is it not Chayei Olam mitzvos, Talmud Torah as well, versus tefillah? Why is it Torah? It's mitzvahs. They're all ruchnius. It's all ruchnius. Question number one. Question number two. Tefillah encompasses so many things. People daven for atzlach and learning. People daven for tshuva. People daven for all sorts of ruchnius purposes. So in which case, why is tefillah associated with Chayei Shah as opposed to Torah's Chayei Olam? Doesn't tefillah also encompass many things that are Chayei Olam, many things that are spiritual and holy? So Rav Huttner wants to understand, why are we pitting against Torah versus tefillah? Torah being Chayei Olam and tefillah as representing Chayei Shah. You have to understand this. Chayei Shah means Chayei Shah, momentary, the here and the now, as opposed to Olam, Olam forever, Olam Haba. Why is tefillah the here and the now? Tefillah also has many aspects that are focused on the spiritual. So that's in the very beginning. That was Aleph, that was Beis. And Rav Huttner says, we have to understand a little bit better, what does it mean, tefillah? What is tefillah about? What's the essence of tefillah? And he quotes a beautiful idea from the Maharal. We know that the Gemara in Sota on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph towards the end, the Gemara introduces us to a concept called Schar Halicha. I think we all grow up with that idea. Oh, Schar Halicha, Schar Halicha. Comes from this Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota says that going to a Beis Knesses, going to shul, going to daven in a shul, a person gets Schar Halicha for davening. And says the Maharal, and if you look in Os Gimel, which I hope you can see on the screen, about four lines down from the bottom, it says by the dot, V'kasav al zeh ha-maral. The Maharal says, D'mi sheyesh lo shtei sukos, v'holich l'sukha ha-rechoka, eina mistaker, v'halichas ol'archoka. A person who has two sukkahs, two available sukkahs, and he skips over a closer sukkah and goes to one that's farther away. He doesn't get more schar for walking to the farther sukkah. And the Maharal explains why. B'kitzer nimratz, in a very terse language, b'pnei she'Hashem yisparach matzui b'veis ha-knesses. V'lachein davka b'veis ha-knesses amrukein, ki ha-holech l'veis ha-knesses nimshachuch acharei Hashem yisparach. Says the Maharal, the difference between Beis Knesses and other mitzvos is that a Beis Knesses, a person is going to greet Hashem. By other mitzvos, that's not the case. So the schar for going to the Beis HaKnesses is even within the halicha, and the more you walk, the more schar you get, as opposed to all other mitzvahs. Let's try to understand this Maharal. So Rav Hutner explains a basic difference, a yesodistic difference between tefillah, and by extension Beis HaKnesses, versus all other mitzvahs. And says Rav Hutner, the idea of mitzvahs is to get close to Hashem, his karvus la'borei olam. To be dovek b'Hakadosh Baruch, we want to get close to Hashem. We want to feel connected to Hashem. We want to be close to Hashem. How does a person do that? Well, when it comes to mitzvos in general, as opposed to tefillah, when it comes to mitzvos in general, by my submitting to Hashem's will, to the Ratzon HaBorei, that connects me to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. When I'm mekayim a mitzvah, so then I become close to Hashem. The closeness of Hashem is the result of the kiyum HaMitzvah. Right? Preparing for the mitzvah, getting ready for that mitzvah, that's not bringing me close to Hashem. But subjugating myself to the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam builds that connection. So by a mitzvah in general, the connection's built after I'm mekayim the mitzvah. When I'm mekayim the mitzvah, I've just been kafuf to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've subjugated myself to Hashem, and therefore I become a better servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that builds this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by fulfilling the mitzvah. By tefillah, it's not the case. Tefillah, the etzim aspect of tefillah, this is the yesod that Rav Hutner wants to get across, which he's building from the Maharal. The etzim aspect of tefillah is to be omed lifnei Hashem. We all know that famous yesod of Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim says, what's tefillah? Tefillah means you're omed lifnei Hashem. The idea of tefillah is that I am in Hashem's presence. It's not the kiyum mitzvah tefillah. It's not that I was kof of myself to this mitzvah called tefillah, and since I daven, that I did Hashem's will, so therefore now I'm not connected, I'm closer to Hashem. That's not it. Tefillah in its essence means you're standing in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what tefillah is. And if you look down in Rav Hutner, and you go all the way down to that where I made a, like a little end bracket in Os Gimbal, he says like this, The kiyum of the mitzvah is what creates the closeness to Hashem. Davening in front of Hashem is kirvas elokim. That's what it means to daven. Means to daven in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why you have all sorts of halachos. If you look in Gemara in Brachos, and if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, I think it's maybe Kuchaf Beis, the Gemara there discusses about kol zman that I haven't taken my three steps back from Shmona Esrei, I'm still omid lifnei Hashem. I'm still in Hashem's presence. Even though I finished davening, I'm not being mekayim the mitzvah anymore, right? I did my tefillah. My tefillah is done with. I was mekayim my mitzvah. Whatever closeness is established by being Mekayim Mitzvah was established. And yet the Gemara discusses that idea, I think it's Chavtes and Brachos, and the Shulchan Aruch discusses that there's a matzav, there's a condition called being Omed Lifnei Hashem, where you're close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it take you, tell you, you until you excuse yourself from Hashem by taking three steps back, you're still in Hashem's presence. Because that's what tefillah is about. Tefillah is about standing in Hashem's presence. the whole concept of tefillah is kirvas Elohim, the etzem of the tefillah, not the kiyum of tefillah. It's a very big distinction, right? That's what it means to daven in front of Hashem. If you look in Oz Dalet, so then Rav Huttner says that's the extension to Beis Knesses in general. Umitokach, why is there schar halicha when it comes to a Beis Knesses? So I'll read a few lines in Oz Dalet. So now from all of this that we've just introduced, we understand what is the Kedusha, what is the significant holiness and unique holiness of the Beis Knesses. Beis Knesses is not just a place that's set aside for the Kiyum of Tefillah. You know, that's the designated place for Tefillah. Okay, you need a designated place for Tefillah perhaps, but that's not what's unique and special specifically to the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses. The real uniqueness of the Beis HaKnesses is that it is a place where Hashem Shechina resides. It's a place that is set aside for communing with Hashem, being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, we know the Gemara, he doesn't quote it, but I'm sure he's thinking of the Gemara in Brachos that says that when time for Minyan comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting there for the Minyan to show up. He's upset. Where are they? Where is the Minyan? Hashem's there. His presence is right there in a different way than Kiyum HaMitzvah, right? Hashem's presence is in that Beis Knesses waiting for the Minyan to happen. The Beis Knesses creates a matzav, creates a context for Hashem's presence and therefore to be karov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we can understand the difference between walking to a sukkah, a farther sukkah, to walking to a Beis Knesses. If you look in the Ritva says in sukkah, the ola l'regel nikra osik b'mitzvah mamish. Someone who's being ola l'regel, he's being osik b'mitzvah, not osik b'hechsher mitzvah, he's being osik b'mitzvah. Why? Because when we think about it, what is the real purpose of aliyah l'regel? It's to get up to the Beis HaMikdash to stand in the Zara in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kirvas Elokim. Says the Ritva, even walking to it is Mamish Mitzvah, not Hechsher Mitzvah, Mamish Mitzvah. When I put together a sukkah, when I start walking to the sukkah, that's all Hechsher Mitzvah. It's preparatory. I need to get to the mitzvah. I have to get to the sukkah. I have to build the sukkah. That's Hechsher Mitzvah. Walking to the Beis HaMikdash, walking to the Beis HaKnesses, not Hechsher Mitzvah, it's Mitzvah Mamish. Says Rav Huttner like this, last line in Oz Dalet of the page. V'chazina mizeh, da'af agav duguf ha-mitzvah hu ha-yosu nimsa ba'azara. Even though the essence of the mitzvah, perhaps, is to stand in the Zara. Mikol makom ein halicha begeder hechsher. Walking there is not a hechsher. It's not a preparation for the mitzvah. Mishum dehilach b'dei liskarev hu gufa du'uvda shil skarvos. Because walking to the Beis HaMikdash is part of drawing close to Hashem. Dehilach perusha miut hamercha. Because what does walking to something mean? I have to get to a location, I have to get to a place, and every step I take, I'm getting closer to that destination. I'm getting closer to what I want to be close to. And since davening means kirvas Elokim, so every step I take that creates a matzav of closer to Hashem, that's part of the mitzvah. That's what tefillah means. Tefillah means to step into Hashem's presence. Every step I take to get into Hashem's presence, to shrink the distance between me and the Rabbono Shel Olam, even if it's a symbolic, metaphysical difference, every step that I take to shrink that distance means I'm being osek in kirvas Elokim mamish, and that's what tefillah is about. That's what alila regal is about, right? Hechsher mitzvah means I have get ready in order to fulfill the mitzvah, and fulfilling the mitzvah gets me closer to Hashem. Getting ready to fulfill the mitzvah is a hechsher mitzvah. But stepping closer to Hashem is not just getting ready for the mitzvah. That's part of the mitzvah, getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a brilliant concept. So there's sort of something called schar alicha when it comes to a Beis Knesses, which you don't have by other types of mitzvahs. So says Rav Huttner the following. The comparison in the Gemara Brachos between Torah and Tefillah, Chayei Shav versus Chayei Olam, right, was a comparison between two types of Kirvas Elokim. That's what Rav Huttner says. Rav Huttner asks the question, why do we compare Tefillah to all mitzvahs? All mitzvahs is holy, are all Osek and Ruchnius, and Tefillah, you're davening, as Rashi said, perhaps you're davening for Banim and Mizonos, Parnasa, you know, whatever you need help with, Refuah Shalema, whatever, right? That's Chayei Shav. That's bodily stuff. So why not mitzvos? So says Rav Huttner, because the comparison is not mitzvos and tefillah. The comparison is in categories of kirvas elokim. How is that so? Let's look in Oshei. Shigam b'torah, let's go to where I underlined. Shigam b'torah nimtza tzad shel adifos b'kirvas elokim l'gabishar mitzvos. Torah also has this aspect of kirvas elokim different than other mitzvos. Right, other mitzvos we said, what kirvas elokim is created by fulfilling Hashem's will, by doing the ratzon Hashem. Dehisaskus b'mitzvos perusho yishtaychus l'ritzono shemakom. By involving myself in a mitzvah means I'm involving myself in the ratzon Hashem, right? That's what we said before. Dehisaskus b'torah, but endeavoring in Torah, being involved in Torah, mean misasek in Torah, perusha hishtaychus l'chachmaso shel makom, hagenuza b'soch ritzonam. When a person's learning Torah, they're learning the thought process, they're learning the understanding, the reasonings, Hashem's, they're learning Hashem's chachma. That's behind the Ratzon Hashem. Right, Ratzon Hashem is Hashem has a certain way he wants things to run, and he wants us to do certain things. That's the Ratzon Hashem, and we engage in doing the Ratzon Hashem. But if we want to understand who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what's behind that Ratzon Hashem, that's when you study Torah. That's Yodea Elokim, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's also Kirva, right? Das, we know the Chumash uses over and over again, right? That when it talks about knowing someone, right, between a husband and a wife, right, between Yitzchak and Rivka, use the word Das. Closeness is da'as. Understanding that person is closeness. And so therefore, Torah is a special aspect of closeness to Hashem, akin to tefillah in a different way. But tefillah is omed lifnei Hashem because I have certain needs and I have to ask Hashem for those needs. So I need to be in front of Hashem. I need to be close to Hashem in order to plead for my needs. Torah is closest to Hashem because I'm understanding Hashem. I'm understanding what's going on behind the Ratzon HaBorei. And so the Gemara says, Rav Huttner, why was the Gemara comparing Torah to tefillah? Because the Gemara was saying there are two types of kirvas elokim. There's the kirvas elokim of Torah and the kirvas elokim of tefillah. The kirvas elokim of Torah is kulo ruchnius, and that's why it calls it chayi olam. It's all about just understanding Hashem's will. How does Hashem approach this world? What is Hashem thinking when it comes to this world and how it should work and understanding the Ratzon Hashem? That's Torah. And tefillah is I come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with needs. Not all those needs are all mundane. Some of them are ruchnias, but some of them can be mundane. And that's legitimate too because it's about kirvas elokim. So it doesn't matter in essence what I'm asking for. The point that I need to ask for Hashem means I need to come in front of Hashem to make that ask. Some of it could be ruchnius, but some of it could not be ruchnius. It could be mundane, and therefore, legabe Torah, it calls it chayisha. So that's how Rav Huttner answers that question. Right? The first question of Torah versus tefillah. Why one is chaya olam, one is chaya shah, and why we specifically compare those two, says Rav Huttner, the pshat is because it's all about kirvas elokim. And Torah, kirvas elokim of Torah, legabe kirvas elokim of tefillah, is chaya shah versus chaya olam. Okay? And which we see something so beautiful, that even though it's chaya olam, it's still kirvas elokim, which makes it so lofty and so unique, different than other types of mitzvos. So as mundane as the questions may be that we have for Hashem, it doesn't make it lowly at all. It's part of kirvas elokim. And says Rav Huttner a sharp insight. And he says the following. Let's look towards the bottom of Oshei. Okay? Hari techuno shel tefillah hu bakesh etzrachav. This is about four lines up. Even though tefillah includes praising Hashem and thanking Hashem, but in the centerpiece of tefillah is asking for our needs, our wants, our desires, what we need in life, right, to keep going. Listen to this line, this beautiful line. When it comes to all other issues in life, normally we judge something by how much we have of it, how shalim we are at it. Like Torah, for example. The more Torah we know, the more shalim we are. And that's true by almost anything, right? The more wealth we have, the more shalom we are in wealth. The more strength we have, the more shalom we are in strength. We want more of something. And that makes us more shalom in that. And that usually is something that's desirable. That's something that we want. We want to look, we want to be mashlim ourselves. So we want more of those aspects. We want more of all those things. Tefillah is the exact opposite. That's unbelievable. Listen to this. Totally the opposite. Vilu tzrachav shel adam nimnim. Now we're on the top of the next page. Nimnim al tzad chesrono. But when it comes to your needs, so then it's all about what I'm missing. What don't I have? And that's a need that I need fulfilled. And the more that I need, it means the more that I'm ultimately missing. So how does tefillah work? Tefillah's koach comes from not by fulfilling how shalem you are, but how mechusar you are. The koach of the tefillah comes from what you're lacking. The more you're lacking, presumably the stronger the koach tefillah. The more you need, the more you're beseeching Hashem. You need, you have less. And from that less, tefillah pulls its strength. Mikomo kombinya tefillah choto amida lefnei amelach nizonis davka michasrono. Tefillah feeds off of the lack, the needs, the wants, right? The lo yitzra adam mitzreinu chaser lo klum hare shlemo shel amida lefnei amelach ne'ula hu lefanav. And if a person has no needs, he's wanting for nothing, then he can't create that special bond of Omid Lefnei Hashem that's created through tefillah. Tefillah is beseeching Hashem, whether it's for koach in ruchnius, whether it's koach for the mundane, for whatever it is, it's beseeching Hashem. And if you don't have that sense of, I have a desire, I have a need, Hashem, I'm missing something, you're not going to be able to create that koach tefillah. Not in the same way. Not in the same way. That's the essence of tefillah, says Rav Hotner. Not the shelach v'odah. Those are aspects, but the essence is chesor chisaron, in asking for your needs. And that's the beautiful idea, okay? And that's what Rav Hotner explains. Tefillah is coming from a sense of neediness. And now we can connect tefillah to tshuva. So let's just circle back to where we started from so we don't get lost. Rav Hotner pointed out that even though tefillah is always about the heart, mima amakim, right? And now we could already even, without even saying it, you could probably in your own mind put some of those pieces together. The reason why tefillah is so about the depth of the heart, right, is because it's about what we're missing, what we're lacking, about the holes in our lives that we need to fill. And that's why we're davening to Hashem. But the question Rav Hotner started with is, why is it that tefillah is uniquely connected, mima amakim tefillah, connected to tshuva? We don't see that lashon used by any other type of tefillah, but only to tshuva. So says Rav Hutner knows Vav, Rabbeinu Yonah b'minyan ikrei tshuva shelo monili kare hayud zayin es ha-tfila. Rabbeinu Yonah counts tfila as an integral aspect of tshuva. V'hainu shebal ha-tshuva tzorach lispalel ha-mechilas avonos u'mevi mekor zeh b'divri kabbalah. So says Rav Yevrahuna, part of what a bal tshuva has to do for tshuva is to ask, is to daven for mechilas avonos. Says Rav Hutner, why is that unique to tshuva? We daven for everything we need. So says Rav Hutner, no, there is something very special to tshuva. And now he ties it all together. That's part of tefillah. There's an aspect of tshuva that includes tefillah. Not that tefillah you have to daven for as like all your other needs. I have a need for tshuva, so I daven. I have a need for children, I daven. I have a need for money, I daven. Right? So I'm davening for tshuva. No, just the other way around. What is tshuva about? And here's his chap. His chap is, and we're running a little bit out of time, so I'm going to have to, it's really beautiful inside. If I can grab some of the words, I will. But basically, his chap is as follows. What's tshuva about? Tshuva is about trying to repair a chet. And what's a chet? A chet means I created a distance between the Ribono Shel Olam. I did something against Hashem's will, and I severed my connection to Hashem, right? When a person sins, he's driving Hashem away. He's saying, I'll not listen to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your command doesn't matter to me. And it creates a hole. It creates a chasm between me and the Ribono Shel Olam. And what does that mean? That means there's now a distance. There's a richuk for me and Hashem. And tshuva is all about returning. Tshuva is all about coming close again. It's about coming close again. And what did we say, tefillah? Tefillah is about coming close to Hashem. So now you put the two together and they're like two sides of the same coin. Chet is all about creating a distance. What do I do with that hole that I created? Chalil, when a person sins, he goes against Hashem's will. What do I do with that hole? Right? Do I bemoan the hole that I'm just not close to Hashem? Or says Rav Huttner, do I take that opportunity and turn it into something positive? What did we say tefillah is all about? Tefillah is nizom. Tefillah feeds off of chisaron. Chet creates a chisaron. Chet creates a hole between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a chisaron in my relationship for Hashem. Now that chisaron exists, I can use that as an opportunity to fill it with tefillah. Right? When I don't have any chisronos, my tefillah is not so powerful. I can't bond to Hashem with the unique koach of tefillah. When a person is chote, shouldn't be chote, but when a person is chote, now they have a chisar in their life, a chisar and goof in the relationship with Hashem. And now I can take that hole and I can use it as an opportunity that if I have a chisaron, that's my ability to bond with Hashem in a unique way with tefillah that's very powerful. And so I take the chet, and instead of bemoaning the situation they created with chet, I use it to my advantage. And I say, Hashem, I have a hole in my life. I need you back. That's tefillah. So tshuva creates a hechetimsa for a powerful tefillah. Tshuva creates the tefillah. And therefore, there's something unique between tshuva and tefillah. And that's why David HaMelech said, mima amakim k'rasicha Hashem, when it came to avonos. Because it's the avonos that allow us to have a powerful tefillah. We wouldn't have that opportunity without the avonos. Again, we're not saying lechatchila, go out and create avonos, though, so you can go ahead and daven to Hashem. But once it's there, it becomes an opportunity for connection, for deep connection. Just in the very last line, let's see if I can just hop at the very end, grab some lines. Let's look towards the end of Ches, about maybe 6-7 lines up. Umemela ki gam haficha shel arikonus leklei kibul techta lema'amakim yosef pnimiyim. Right? When I can turn, when I can flip the emptiness that's created by chet into a kli kibul, into a vessel for what? For tefillah, right? The hole can now become a vessel to be filled with tefillah. The deeper the hole, the greater the chisaron, the more powerful the tefillah, and the more you're able to be omed lifnei Hashem because of it. Ha! I think it's brilliant. Chasimaso shel haperek hazeh haposeach b'ma'amakim hi v'hu yifteh siso mikol amanusav. The ending, the final sentence of this kapitel Tehillim says, and Hashem is yifteh podeh yisrael mikol avonosav. Chasimazu p'psicha hinu utza. The ending is connected to the very beginning. Kol pidjon behechrech sheyesh bo inyan yashal chalifin utmura. What does a pidjon mean? What does to be podeh? What does podeh mean? What is to redeem something? It means you're flipping something, right? You're turning one thing into another. That's your podeh. You want to be podeh something from hektesh, right? So I take the kedusha out and I transfer it onto something else, and that thing becomes mundane, and the coin becomes holy. I'm flipping it, and that's why it's podeh mikol avonosav, right? Zeh tachas zeh, one thing under the other. Ayidei akriya mima'amakim nifkas minachalal toras rikonios. Vinispasas bo Torah's base kibble. From the ma'amakim, from the depth, I'm able to flip that hole, that emptiness that's created by chet, and through the tefillah, I turn it into a kli kibble. I turn that hole into a vessel of bringing Hashem back into my life. V'hu yifte Yisrael mekol avonosav. So I think it's just a brilliant new way of looking at the idea of tefillah. Tefillah, different than every other type of endeavor, is unique in the sense that it draws its power from that we're missing. While other things you want to be just shalom, you just want more and more of, tefillah is born out of what you have less of. And tshuva is that process of taking, right, the chet and taking the hole that's created and coming back to Hashem. And so therefore it's so natural that tshuva and tefillah should be paired up to each other. Because tefillah is about being omid lifnei Hashem. And you can take that hole that's created by chet, and instead of it just being a hole that's a distance between me and Hashem, it can now become a kli kibul. It become a receptacle of bringing Hashem back into my life by being omid lifnei Hashem through tefillah. Mitzvah Hashem, hopefully this kind of idea and thought may make our tefillahs a little bit more meaningful and dare I say, deeper. All right, Rabosai, let me just stop the share now. Stop it. Okay. All right. I don't know if there are any questions or any thoughts, but that was the piece. And if you have a